Good morning. I'm Mike Pulsifer, and this is the CBS World News Roundup. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. In fact, they're here. Several dozen Soviets arrived at a California airbase late last night. They make up the team that will monitor compliance by this country with the U.S.-Soviet Intermediate and Shorter Range Missile Treaty. Chris Cutter has more from CBS radio station KCBS San Francisco.
80 Soviet inspectors arrived after a 17-hour flight from Moscow. They were greeted by Colonel Tom Smalls of Travis Air Force Base.
This is an historic moment for two great nations.
And the Soviets said they would perform their mission in exact accordance with the INF Treaty.
In carrying out their mission on the U.S. territory, Soviet inspectors intend to perform their duties in strict compliance with relevant provisions of the INF Treaty and of the Protocol on Inspections, to follow the letter and spirit of this historic document.
All of this beginning on a very good omen, according to the Soviet delegation.
It was raining when we left Moscow. Russians say a rain at the start of a journey is a good sign.
Chris Cutter for CBS News, San Francisco.
A U.S. team has arrived in the Soviet Union to monitor Soviet compliance with the treaty, which officially took effect yesterday. All bets are off. The rules have changed radically. Barry Peterson in Moscow reports on a just-concluded conference of the Soviet Communist Party, the first such party meeting in 47 years.
It's a different Soviet Union today than it was a week ago, a place where the rule book has been tossed out the window. Soviets have seen the unthinkable happen at the party conference and more be broadcast on Soviet television. The unthinkable, criticizing sitting party leaders. The unthinkable, criticizing Gorbachev's perestroika, the economic reforms, for not moving fast enough. Gorbachev said he wanted this party conference to be a free-for-all, and that's what it was, an opening up as dramatic as any fan of Glasnost could want. There were proposals for reform, and they passed as well. Among them, a plan to limit party members to a maximum of 10 years in office. That includes the office Gorbachev now holds. Another plan to build a Stalin monument, but not one praising the leader, one that will honor his millions of victims, the Soviet Union coming to terms with its past. And if there was one message that came loud and clear, it's that the past doesn't work here anymore. The old ways are on the way out. Take home that message, Gorbachev told the delegates. The old ways are gone. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
The reality of the Defense Department procurement scandal is hitting home for some of the country's defense contractors. Payments on $1 billion worth of contracts have been ordered held up by Defense Secretary Carlucci. He acted after a federal magistrate in Dallas unsealed affidavits resulting from some of the search warrants served in the case. CBS News Pentagon correspondent David Martin says it appears there's a good chance more payment suspensions lie ahead.
There are 40 other affidavits sitting under seal somewhere in U.S. federal courts around the country. Presumably some of them contain the same kind of specific wiretap information that was in the one that prompted Carlucci to act. And you have to assume that if he gets that kind of specific information again, he will take similar action against other companies, other individuals that are named.
Carlucci echoes that theory, telling reporters in Washington that wherever we have specific evidence, we will take action. Yet another Philippine human rights lawyer has been murdered, this one gunned down on a street in the nation's capital. Gabby Tabinar reports from Manila.
The victim, Emmanuel Mendoza, was killed by two unidentified men on a motorcycle who opened fire on the lawyer as he stopped his car at an intersection in downtown Manila. Mendoza was the third human rights lawyer killed in as many weeks. The first was shot dead 2 weeks ago in the central Philippine island of Cebu. Last week, a human rights lawyer was slain in his home near the U.S. Clark Air Base north of Manila. The slaying of the lawyer near the American base brought to 35 the number of people killed within the last 2 months in the city of Angeles, where the sprawling U.S. base is located. Today's killing in Manila came 2 days after the failed assassination attempt on a university president. It was the second failed attack on the educator within 8 months. Both incidents remain unsolved. Gabby Tabunyar for CBS News, Manila.
Shipping sources now confirm Iraq's claim of renewed air attacks in the Persian Gulf. Baghdad Radio says two large maritime targets were hit in raids off Iran's coast. That phrase is Iraqi language normally used to designate tankers. South Korea's government is demanding compensation as the result of another Iraqi attack. Dozens of South Koreans were killed or injured when Iraq bombed a construction site in Iran. More from Bruce Dunning in Seoul.
Families wept for the men killed in the Iraqi air raid. And here in Seoul, the foreign minister called in Iraq's ambassador to lodge a strong protest against the action. 12 Korean construction workers are known dead, one is missing, and 42 others were injured when Iraqi warplanes attacked a gas refinery being built in southern Iran. About 380 Korean construction workers were employed on the site. The Korean government said the attack came without warning on a purely civilian target far from the fighting. Korea has maintained relations with both Iran and Iraq throughout the eight-year Persian Gulf War. Much of Korea's oil comes from the region. Korean ships have frequently been the targets of both Iranian and Iraqi attack in the Gulf, but these are the first Korean casualties outside the war zone. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Seoul.
Southern farmers feel they're repaying a debt of sorts. 2 years ago, growers in the Midwest were among those sending hay to the Southeast, helping farmers there live through a severe drought. The weather table has turned. It's now the Midwest that's without water, and the South is returning the favor. Farmer Ed Meek in Cloverdale, Indiana, received 180 bales of hay from growers in South Carolina.
We have 72 head right now, and they're out on the pasture, but it's brown, and they get very little from it, so we need to feed them hay along each day to kind of subsidize what they may get out there.
Meek is grateful, but he says the hay will feed his 72 head of cattle only for about 2 weeks. Authorities in North Dakota say the drought could cost $3 billion in that state alone. Agriculture Secretary Ling says the federal government probably will come up with financial aid for the affected farmers. And for the affected regions, it's still the same old story. Scattered rain here and there, even heavy at times, but not enough to end what some are calling the worst drought in 50 years. Police in Southern California report at least four people were hurt in a gang-related drive-by shooting at the Riverside County Raceway. The attack occurred at the entrance to a 4th of July fair in Moreno Valley. Four people were taken to hospitals. Authorities believe other people were wounded but left the scene and have not yet sought medical treatment. 10 past the hour.